It's good to have you with us today for the Family Bible Hour. So glad you've joined us for this study time on the Word of God. Our meditation theme today is entitled Feeding of the 5,000. Boyd Nicholson is our speaker. I know you always enjoy Boyd's ministry. You did so on our program 1933, and you'll do so again today on our cassette 173. So may the Lord bless you in a very special way. What an experience that must have been to have been with the 5,000 as they were fed by the great, all-powerful hand that was soon to be nailed to a cross. I trust the Lord will bless you. I wonder if you know that the Family Bible Hour is produced in St. Catharines, Ontario. That's just a few short miles from Niagara Falls. Recently, we had the pleasure of riding the Maid of the Mist. That's the little boat that goes up very close to the roaring cataracts. And as I saw that huge volume of water, I couldn't help but think of the great love of God. His love exceeds even the cataract of Niagara. And I trust and pray that you're experiencing and being blessed by that love. Ask the Lord to bless you now in a special way as you study the Word of God, and when you do, pray for the Family Bible Hour. We daily and weekly feel the need of the prayers of God's beloved people. Now, this is Arnett McEntee, praying God will bless you as you turn the pages of the Holy Book.
Thank you, Arnett. We ask God's blessing in our program today. Father, we do thank thee for the Lord Jesus, for his compassion, and for his power to meet our every need and satisfy the human soul. We pray that multitudes will find him today as the bread of life. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. There's a remarkable statement given in the scriptures concerning the Lord Jesus. It's found in John 13. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand. What a statement. Our study portion this week deals with the miracle of the Lord Jesus feeding a multitude by multiplying a boy's lunch of bread and fish that was put into his hand. To grasp the significance of this miracle, we have to understand what's been going on. A seeming tragedy had just occurred. The beloved and faithful John Baptist was murdered and beheaded by Herod the weak king at the whim of a sinful woman. The disciples heard of this tragic end of faithful John, and with great courage and loyalty went to the prison to claim the headless body of their beloved fellow servant, and then took it away to wash and prepare it for the burial, and sadly to carry out the funeral service themselves. We can only imagine the kind of emotional strain they must have felt in their deep sorrow. Identifying themselves with John, they doubtless ran the risk of suffering imprisonment themselves, or even death at the hands of that cruel king. The disciples had been very busy in the work of the Lord in those days, doing good works, proclaiming the word of God. They were so fully occupied in the word of the Lord, in fact, we read that they didn't have enough time to sit down for a meal. They knew the burden of disrupted schedules and demands. Their strength was being fully expended. They were weary and suffering the demands of severe physical drain of their resources. They literally poured themselves out in teaching the word of the Lord. In all the demands of that ministry, they experienced a profound expenditure of their spiritual resources. And it was at this time that the Lord Jesus, ever the good and kind and thoughtful master, recognized their urgent need and called them to come apart and rest a while. For everyone who has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, there's no better place when weary in service, distressed in sorrow, or exhausted in spirit than to come apart from it all for a little while and spend time in the presence of the best of masters, there to draw upon his infinite resources and let him minister his love and care for all our need. This is what the Lord Jesus was doing for his disciples when he saw the multitude coming from the surrounding areas to find help from this blesser of souls, Jesus of Nazareth. As the good shepherd, he saw the people as wandering, needy sheep, having no shepherd, and he had compassion upon them. He opened to them divine truths and taught them many wonderful things. God often used this picture of mankind as a flock of sheep in Scripture. We read about this in Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, that is, on the Lord Jesus, the iniquity of us all. In another scripture, Peter writes to Christians, ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. There's nothing so pathetic as a lost and wandering sheep. It has no means of defense, no protection against its enemy. It has no natural sense of direction and cannot find the way home. What a picture of all those who do not know that good shepherd, the Lord Jesus, who gave himself for the sheep. Dear listener today, if you cannot say with David, the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd, your condition is most serious and your situation is most dangerous. You're out there where Satan, your enemy, prowls around seeking whom he may devour. As the day wore on, the disciples began to have concern about the physical needs of this multitude for food and rest. How were they ever going to be fed? That's one thing, you see, about spending time with the Lord Jesus. Our eyes will be open to the needs of the lost all around, and we cannot remain unmoved. The world is a wilderness. There's nothing there to satisfy the human heart. The poet wrote, I've tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed. Even as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wailed. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me, there's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Those disciples not only got a sight of the needs of the people, they also realized the lateness of the hour. We read that the day was far spent. We don't need to be a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, to see that this old world is running out of time. That is, time to repent and get right with God. The forces of nature are all in turmoil. Earthquakes shake the earth. Droughts wither the crops in many lands. The weather patterns are changing dramatically. Crime and lawlessness are rampant. Moral values have eroded, and the institutions of justice, law and order are being mocked by many. Criminals walk the streets free, and their innocent victims hide behind bar windows. The great power blocks of the nations are declaring their positions and establishing their loyalties in preparation for the last great conflict of the ages. The financial institutions of the world hang precariously on the brink of disaster from day to day, and inflated values have made money a weapon of power to the rich, to control the weak and the helpless, till men are crying out like the bleating of the sheep for the relief they so urgently need. The day of God's grace is far spent indeed. Soon God will intervene again in the world's affairs. First, by sending his son to the heavens again to catch away his true church to himself out of this world, and then to deal with his enemies in judgment. Dear listener, your day is far spent. God stands in mercy still, ready to forgive. The good shepherd that died on Calvary sends out his call of love and mercy for you to come to him now while there is time, that you may be brought safely into his fold. Wait no longer. Flee from the wrath to come. Those disciples not only discovered the needs of the people and the lateness of the hour, but they were to discover the inadequacy of human resources. They did not have of themselves what was sufficient for the need. That's absolutely true of every follower of Christ. As much as we long to meet the need of the lost all around, only God can really do that in the person of his own dear son. No religion of men can supply what is needed, spite of all their claims. No preacher, priest, or pastor is able to touch the need of the soul, be they ever so great or ever so godly. The Lord Jesus said in John 10:27 and verse 28, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. Now the Lord sets out to meet the need of that multitude. All that was available that day was a very little money and a boy's lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But this was put into the hand of the Lord Jesus. And in that mighty hand, he miraculously multiplied it until there was fully sufficient for all. In this, he displayed his divine attribute of creatorial power. Man with the skill and ingenuity can make things out of existing substances, but only God can bring into existence what was not there before. The Lord Jesus exhibited his controlling power so that what was created was of the exact same substance. They all ate bread. They all ate fish, not some chemical substitute. More than that, his power was compassionate power, for he created enough food so that the multitude did all eat and were filled. On top of that, he provided 12 picnic baskets full, one for each of the disciples who had been serving out the food to that great crowd. That's characteristic of the Lord Jesus. His blessings are so bountiful. His riches are infinite. His goodness overflows out of the love of his great heart. What a wonderful Savior he is. Dear listener, do you know him? Is he your Savior, shepherd, friend? Have you come to him out of the barren world with all its toys of dust and tragic disappointments to the heart of the Good Shepherd? If not, come today. Come by faith, and he will keep his promise. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of the infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth and giveth again. Oh God, we thank thee for such a wonderful Savior. As we see the needs of the multitudes, we pray that this day many poor, lost, and wandering souls will come to Christ and be received into the fold of blessing and security. We ask it, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus and for his glory. Amen.